Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Liberty-loving patriots, this is the voice of the American Redoubt. You are listening to episode 1811, the 11th episode of 2018. This is the 25th of March. We're closing down. Spring is over with. Well, I mean, spring is just coming on for most of us. And winter is behind us. We've got a lot of great things to look forward to this year. So I hope you guys are all blessed. We've got some very interesting stuff going on in our country. We're going to be talking about that, how things are coming unraveled. And it's not that we have been warning about this for a long time. And I remember, you know, when I first started this, like in 2011, there was things that I saw what was coming on the horizon. I'm calling it out. And it just did not resonate with a lot of people at the beginning because it's just – things aren't that bad. You're talking about communism taking over and – this stuff, I mean, just kind of old school type of thinking. Well, since then, the awakening is happening. Unfortunately, we got a little bit of going back to sleep happening also because Trump's in to save the day. Everything's all right. Kick back and just cruise. But well, we're seeing that's not the case. And people are having a reawakening, thank God. I know a lot of you guys in this listening audience, you have been awake for a long time. What I hear draws a lot of people is that in this crazy world, you feel alone. And so I'm just here to remind you that you're not alone. There are many of you, many, just thousands of millions of like-minded people out there, but you're just completely unaware of it because so many are just, they feel withdrawn, pushed down, and you don't want to stick your head up because the whole world is against everything you believe, but that's not true. They're just masters of deception, just like their master is. And they are really good at making you think that you're the only one that's thinking logically and rationally and that you are their enemy and there's only one of you, so you better keep your head down. Well, patriots, now's the time to stand up, if ever. Now is the time for standing for what you believe in. Now I know, now some of you, you are heavily outnumbered. You're in occupied territory. That's why we call for right now. Well, you still have time in this borrowed time to strategically relocate to the conservative pockets where they do exist, and they do across the country. The American Redoubt is one of them. Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Eastern Oregon and Eastern Washington. Well, formerly Eastern Washington. Now, Liberty State. At least we're trying to make it officially Liberty State. The effort is growing because Idaho, being the number one top growing state in the nation, it's filling mostly with patriots. So it's bursting at the seams. Liberty, we need you. Liberty State, using listeners in Eastern Washington. Man, roll up your sleeves. This is very critically, strategically critical component of the overall strategy for the American Redoubt. So if you guys are not in Eastern Washington / the State of Liberty, then ask you to support it, please, as it's growing. It is picking up momentum all the time. Matter of fact, this coming weekend on the 31st, Saturday, we've got another presentation. It's going to be in Ponderay County. And there's more planned for the Tri-Cities, Kennewick, Yakima, Wenatchee, all over the place. So that's it's pretty exciting. Lots of stuff's happening. In case you had forgotten or maybe you didn't write it down, we now have a number you can listen to. Like many of you are listening right now on the call-in number. If you have limited data and you're trying to save your data, you can call in. I've listened to it. It's not quite as good a quality audio. But still, it gets the job done and still sounds pretty decent. if you don't have, you know, if you have limited bandwidth. So that number for calling into the Radio Free Redoubt Stream Monster number is 857-757-1085. And that's also listed on our page for how to listen. Just click on how to listen to Radio Free Redoubt on our website, radiofreeredoubt.com. And that number is also included there. So thank you guys for your encouragement. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for praying for me, for courage, for wisdom, for discernment, and for humility. I pray that for you guys as well. All right, let's get right down to the news and commentary brought to you by 299 Days, the book series, and the author, Glenn Tate. Go check it out at 299days.com about the partial rebuilding or the partial collapse and the rebuilding. Exciting stuff. And what's not very exciting right now is international news. We've seen this coming for a long time. We see this renewed effort, but here it is again, raising its ugly head from LifeSiteNews.com. The United Nations radical agenda pushes sex and LGBT education starting in kindergarten now. The United Nations published a new comprehensive, oh, trust me, it's not comprehensive. They aren't done yet. But it's about as comprehensive as they feel like they could push at this point. Sex ed guidelines for schools taking its cues from Planned Parenthood to help teachers instruct kindergartners in LGBTQIA+, whatever. They keep adding more. Ideology and practices. The sickos. The perverts. Despite the objections of various member states, the International Technical Guidance on Sexuality Education takes UN abortion promotion a step further, indoctrinating children in pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality, pro-transgenderism, and pro-fornication propaganda starting at age 5. A listener that sent this in said, how far will they go? Oh, all the way. All the way. With kids. Now, they haven't started sacrificing them yet, but we've seen that numerous times in history. So when are we going to start sacrificing children or having the temple prostitutes with the children? Or not too far away from that now. So the perversion continues. Here's something that you guys probably did not hear about because the news would absolutely refuse. I have no idea why. This was a local ABC News story, and still they're holding it back. How many of you know there was a terrorist IED, a vehicle-borne improvised explosive device detonated at the gate of Travis Air Force Base this week? It was like there's nothing out there on it. Nothing. And what's interesting is in the news, they call it a flaming minivan. They called it a explosive crash. They said the according to the FBI, they identified this guy as Hafiz Qazi, Muslim name, found dead inside of a Kia minivan Wednesday evening after slowly rolling through the main gate at Travis Air Force Base and crashing. He was in a fiery crash. The thing's loaded with propane tanks and 3 1-gallon size gas cans and several lighters found in the van. So now they're trying to figure out the motive. They said, well, he has no known links to terrorism, so couldn't be that. This is amazing. This is a guy tries to, apparently didn't have the full effect, to set off a car bomb, and they call it a fiery crash. Instead of a suicide bomber, a VBEID, IED, and they're just saying, yeah, we don't know why this guy did it. A flaming minivan. Nothing in the news. Maybe because they didn't want to distract the public with a Muslim car bomb attack on our own home soil at one of our military bases attempting to kill our own troops right here at home, and distract from this anti-gun agenda that they were on this week. But isn't that something? That was, we'll put the highlights in, or we'll put the link to that in our highlights and resources posting. I caught word of this on Wednesday and, well, I haven't heard anything about this. Nobody had. You, not a peep from these people. Amazing. And of course, Geller, Pamela Geller over on her page, she's got, Travis Terrorist Kazi names him. The sources say the information gathered so far still does not point to a concrete motive, with one source calling the man a mystery still. Terrorism, mental health issues, and everything else is still on the table as authorities try to uncover a motive. Or maybe you just had Alzheimer's. Maybe you just got lost. Right. Well, yeah, it was a good day, though. Anytime a terrorist kills himself and no one else, it's a good day. Here's something that happened this week, though, that made me a little unsettled, a lot unsettled. I'm wondering, is Trump selling out? Is Trump selling out? Now, here's a man, I'm very skeptical of Trump. But since then, I've been a prove-it kind of person, and he's proved it. He has accomplished over 60% of what he said he was going to accomplish in his election campaign. He's doing what we would all hope somebody would do. He's not taking any garbage from these people. He doesn't back down. Except this week. 2 days ago, because I follow him on Twitter, and I get this tweet from Trump, from President Trump, quoting, and this is what it says. Well, he lists the previous president who will not be named. Administration legalized bump stocks. Bad idea. As I promised today, the Department of Justice will issue the rule banning bump stocks. He's on the bump stock bandwagon. With a mandated comment period, we will ban all devices that turn legal weapons into illegal machine guns. Well, a bump stock does not turn a legal weapon into a machine gun. This is, I can run my weapon. I can run my rifle as fast as somebody with a bump stock. With no modifications, no bump stocks, no little hand cranks or anything like that. Seriously. But this is just mindless, knee-jerk reaction. And last month he was talking about banning some of these weapons and what we need to do. And he kind of cooled off from that. But then 2 weeks ago, or 2 days ago, I see this. Now, also 2 days ago, he caved, throwing us another, what, $1.2 trillion in debt? Stacking trillions. This is 6 months. They're going to do it again. They're going to have to do it again. So he tweets this. As a matter of national security, I've signed the omnibus spending bill. As a matter of national security. So there's your excuse, right? I say to Congress, I will never sign another bill like this again. To prevent this omnibus situation from ever happening again, I'm calling on Congress to give me a line item veto for all government spending bills. Several problems here. Okay, first of all, as soon as you blink, they won. As soon as you say, I will sign it this time, but I will never do this again. They know it's not true. You did it once, you will do it again. Why? Because this time you did it as a matter of national security. They're going to twist it so next time you will have to as a matter of national security. Otherwise, you really wouldn't have done this and you're never going to do it again. They got you once you blinked. I will never sign another bill like this again. Okay, so if you put pen to paper and you sign something like this, that you will never do again, why would you do it in the first place? Why would you go and do something that you would never, that you regret and would never do again? And then you go and do it. That tells me you're going to do it again because you've already built in the excuse. National security was the reason. That was the excuse to do it. And that's going to be the excuse next time. Now, he's won me over. He's the closest thing to Churchill, a modern day Churchill that we could hope for. But this right here, this is a sellout on the gun issue And then on this debt. Now, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. It's a principle thing. Because the reason why it doesn't matter, I say that, is because we are already so far in debt, it's mathematically impossible to turn it around. It's not going to happen. They're borrowing, they're getting credit cards. It's like somebody getting 4 credit cards a month because that's how much they need to be able to pay just the interest on the other 150 credit cards that they've racked up and maxed out. And now they can't even pay the interest. And that's where we're at. So one more credit card is just like, it's like a needle in a mountain high stack of needles, but it's the principle of not caving. You can't cave. So some people were pretty upset this week. And they're like, we're on our own. We're on our own, guys. The guy that we were looking to make a difference is selling out and we're on our own. Well, I would say you've always been on your own for quite a while, for at least a decade. If you know history, you know the history and the fate of empires, and you've studied that. You know where all this is headed. Do not place your faith in any man. This is the time right now. You place your faith in him above. That's the only thing, person, that you can place your faith in. No man. They're going to let you down. Now, God can use men to do miraculous things. I believe that's happened. I know a bunch of stuff's coming out right now about this prostitute he allegedly hired and paid some hush money. And everybody's going to be disappointed. Well, I don't think that, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, I don't think he was a Christian. I'm not the judge, but I didn't see evidence of it. And so, especially in this debauched, degenerate, perverse culture, they're going to hammer a man for having sex with a woman. Oh, he was married at the time. Well, when did that care? When did that matter to this world and their standards? Now, if somebody lived a sinful life like we all have, and then they repent and gave their life over to the Lord, then what they did from that point forward is what matters. And I believe it's very possible that that man, something supernatural happened to him. When he became president, something shifted. I could sense it. I could see it. And I could feel it. I could see it. And I could see the evidence of it, of that. So what he did 8 years ago, of course, I'm not happy about it. But if he's flipped his life around, I don't know. I would like to think that he is a Christian now. I don't know, but I'm disappointed in his caving on this another $1.2 trillion. You can't even comprehend that kind of money. It's unfathomable, but they've numbed us to it. Anyway, we are on our own. And now what it's a matter of you building your tribe, building the frith among the men and women, the people in your lives that you've built trust with, relationship with, shared hardship with, you've trained with, you've invested with them, you've looked at them face to face, you've broken bread with them, your family vacation, you go to church with them, you're helping each other work on your property or projects and things, you're building frith with these people. That right there, that's your tribe. Not somebody in Washington, D.C., not anybody in Washington, D.C. And that's where you are on your own. It's going to be a matter of like-minded, God-fearing, liberty-minded people gathering in regions and clusters of communities that can trust and build each other, build with each other and build those relationships with each other right now, which I see happening all the time. So it's disappointing when we see somebody that we're hoping would do the right thing and has been doing the right thing. And then all of a sudden we see him wavering, right? But stay the course. Trump is not your tribe. He's temporarily been placed there by higher powers, right? That's going to play out, and you have no control over that. You focus right at home. You keep training. You keep advancing your skill sets. You keep preparing for hardship in the future, and you keep strengthening yourself physically, mentally, spiritually, all of that. And strengthening those bonds with those people around you that you can trust. And now here's the other problem. So he's going to fix this thing, so he'll never be able to do it again, by demanding that they give him a line item veto. But that's been ruled already unconstitutional over almost 20 years ago. So that's not going to fly either. Now, somebody said, well, you know, he's brilliant. And he is brilliant. He's done some stuff that made me scratch my head and go, what is he thinking? What is he doing? And then all of a sudden, you see how he played. He is so good at playing the opposition. And you look at him and you're going, what is he doing? He's messing up. And then you see what all the little pieces that he's been manipulating the whole time. And just like, wow, this guy's brilliant. He's brilliant, but there is always somebody faster, smarter, stronger, better, badder. And when you're on top of your game, you begin to get arrogant. And that's when they come in and under the radar and sucker punch you. I've not seen any evidence that he's played them. It looks like he got played. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see it. And I also think that if he had been playing them, he wouldn't have been making excuses for this and say, oh, this will never happen again. And I demand that in the future you do something unconstitutional, like give me a line item veto. And no, he would have laid it out by now, exactly what he did to them, but he hasn't. So little disconcerting. I spent way too much time on that. Initiative would ban the sale of assault weapons if this goes through in Oregon. This group of interfaith leaders. Oh, my goodness. Pharisees. In this case, it's Mark Knutson, pastor of Augustana Lutheran Church in Portland. A Lutheran church in Portland. Who will serve as one of the three chief petitioners for the initiative, has filed paperwork for an initiative petition to ban the sale and transfer of assault-style weapons and high-capacity magazines. Good! Awesome! There will be no more deaths. There will be no more school shootings. It'll all be over with if they just ban these things. Right? Well, this proposal would allow gun owners who legally obtain such weapons to keep them so long as they register the weapon with Oregon State Police and pass a background check. Yeah, right. You don't register them. If that's the case, well, Eastern Oregon is going to have to break off from Western Oregon and or get out while you can. It's going to make it a Class B felony. And now we've got YouTube saying that here in a couple of weeks, they're going to be banning firearms-related training videos, even firearm safety issues, or instructional videos on how to properly maintain or clean your firearms. YouTube's going to start censoring all of this stuff. Well, the NRA, I haven't been super happy with them. But you know what? Man, they're in the fight. And they're taking the bloodiest nose. And really, who is the NRA? How many? 40 million American gun owners? That's the NRA. Your fellow citizens is the NRA. I know there's lawyers in Washington, D.C., and they do their policy stuff, and they've done some disappointing things, and they've sold out. But I'll tell you what, nobody's taking a hit more than the NRA in all of this. So they come up with a statement, NRA statement on YouTube censorship announcement. This is their statement. Millions of Americans watch YouTube videos every day to learn more about the safe and responsible use of firearms. And those videos show law-abiding gun owners participating in lawful behavior. By banning this content, YouTube is engaging in the politically motivated censorship and alienating the millions of people who turn to the website for education and training. There you go. If you guys need a web hosting company, if you've got a website and you need it hosted, TLC Web Hosting has done such an amazing job taking care of us. They've looked for so many Patriot and Patriot-owned businesses and Patriot organizations and blogs and outlets. They're Patriot-owned, Christian Patriot-owned, right here in the American Redoubt. It's a large web hosting company. All host websites all around the country and the world. And they happen to be located right here, and they've taken such good care of us. I just want to let you know about that because, I'd like to mention them every now and then. TLCwebhosting.com for your web hosting needs. Now, also, when I come back, I'm going to talk about the Red Pill Expo couple of announcements there. And then we're going to get on to, man, we've got a lot of stuff to talk, toxic masculinity and the deception of this communist revolution that's taking place, capturing our hearts and minds of our children and turning them against our heritage and our country. More and that and more when we come back. Don't go away. This is Radio Free Bredow.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Herbert A. Philbrick.
What is communism? I've been on the inside of communism. From this knowledge, I tell you as simply and seriously as I know how. Communism is a lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, as J. Edgar Hoover says, a criminal conspiracy. I'm choosing these words deliberately. Lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, and it is not an American political party like any other. It's an outlawed organization, taking its orders and instructions from another government to do everything possible to destroy our government. It's an international criminal conspiracy.
All podcasts are equal.
This is segment two. Segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. They are helping God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots and patriots from all over the country are moving to the American Redoubt. And if you have your eyes set on the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com is who you want to get a hold of. Great folks. They'll take good care of you. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Also, don't forget to help support LibertyState.org. We're adding more content to that website. And also, you can shop and donate there. We've got the t-shirts out, there's the hats, there's bumper stickers. The flags are out now, and those sales are taking off. That's kind of exciting to see that happen also. It's LibertyState.org. Okay. Now, the Red Pill Expo is coming up. You guys know about this, June 21st through the 23rd. It's going to be in Spokane, Washington this year. Normally, it's over in Montana. People come from all over the place to attend that. Top speakers will be involved in that. I want you to go check that out at the Red Pill Expo. That's going to be in our highlights and resources posting. But if you click on the link, there's a posting on RadioFreeReadout.com or in the highlights and resources posting for this show. Click on the link that will take you to the Red Pill Expo. If you're going to go to that, and we encourage you to, use the discount code FR2018, and that'll save 15%. But that ends March 30th. That's coming up this coming week. What's that, next Friday? And then you can choose from the VIP admission or general admission, and I will be there. I will Radio Free Redoubt and Amron will have a booth along with Patriot Radio with Matt Shea, and then also there will be a Liberty State booth there as well. So looking forward to meeting you guys for those of you who are able to make it. Now, it's spendy. It's expensive. I understand that. So here's an alternative. There's a live stream version. If you can't make it for whatever reason, what is it? It's considerably less expensive, but I want to encourage you guys to live stream that. Hold an open house, invite some friends over, have a big 2-day bash and catch all of the speakers, all the presentations over there from the Red Pill Expos, just back to back to back, top of the line, world class speakers in the patriot, conservative patriot community from across the country. So they're going to be reaching thousands of people that way through the live streaming. It's considerably cheaper. Everybody pitches in $10 or whatever, and you have a big barbecue weekend at your place, and you can share it that way as well. Next weekend on the 31st at 3 p.m., there's going to be a Liberty State rally in Newport, Washington at the Sadie Halstead Middle School. We've got information to that, which will be in our highlights and resources posting as well. Matt Shea, Representative Matt Shea will be there, and also Mark Herr from Center for Self-Governance. I'm going to have to probably Skype him in or Zoom him in. He'll be visiting by video because he is going to be out of state doing some training and other things. Okay, so this week we had all these anti-gun rallies. And so we actually got some exclusive footage from one of those. All of them are the same platform, the same speaking topic points and stuff. So we've got some exclusive footage from one of those. And listen to this. And that's just one of many rallies just like it that took place across the country yesterday, hijacking the minds of our children. They're saying this is student-led demonstrations. It's not at all. The New American exposed this as well, along with several others. But, of course, I love the New American and the John Birch Society. Great folks, communist watchdogs, no matter what the left says. Of course, it really doesn't matter what the left says. So whatever they say, they're liars or deceivers anyway. But they've got, apparently, it's the Giffords Foundation. They're the ones that are involved in this. Of course, USA Today says, the students from Parkland, you know, they're the leaders we've been waiting for. Oh, they're elevating. They're just feeding their egos, right? So these kids now are part of this so-called March for Our Lives. They're saying it's student-led, student-organized rally for common sense gun control. But the reality is that it is led and organized by the usual suspects in the anti-gun crowd. The kids are just window dressing for the sake of an emotional appeal. A YouTube video of leaked audio reveals that the real organization leading the rally is the anti-gun Giffords Foundation. And we've also exposed several of these organizing meetings where the kids wearing these shirts saying, "We've got your back. We've got your back," is what it says across the back. "We've got your back." What they got behind their back is actually a poster of Che Guevara. You get some of these organizers wearing Che Guevara shirts saying, "We've got your back." Didn't Che Guevara said that too? "We got your back," right before he blew their brains out. How many hundreds and hundreds of people did he murder? Sicko. And so now we've got, here's a picture. One of the speakers, students apparently, March for Our Lives. With the news headline saying, "Welcome to the revolution. Parkland students lead emotional March for Our Lives rally." Welcome to the revolution. Interesting, because they got this, I think it's a female. Her head's shaved, but she's wearing a army green, OD green, looks like a army Cuban type of uniform, because she's wearing a Cuban, communist Cuban flag on her shoulder. She's also got this multiple patches on her, this uniform, revolutionary uniform, communist revolutionary, giving this emotional appeal about how we need to disarm ourselves. That's exactly what Che Guevara said. He said the people should be disarmed. And then he executed them. So now they got this girl, I think it's a girl, wearing this OD green army top blouse with the communist Cuban flag on it, calling this a revolution. She looks just like her senior grand potentate commander, Castro. I got a picture right here of Castro. I'm looking at like side by side. I'm like, wow, this is a little Cuban communist revolutionary convincing you in this emotional speech that you should disarm yourselves. And so, no, I call BS. We call BS. We call BS on this communist agenda. And we're not going to be manipulated or bullied by children into disarming. while they call this a revolution, while they're and this is like – this is not all kids. This is just – this is actually a small number of kids that they try to make appear that everybody is on board with this. In fact, well, it's the rule of thirds like anything else. A third of them – say, yeah, I want less guns. A third of them's like, no, I like guns. I want to have guns one day, and or I'm raised with them. And a third, just they don't care. They just kind of just want to get along. So now the duplicity of bullying. Somebody sent me something in the American Redoubt. This girl's she's sniveling about being bullied by adults for speaking out against guns. She went public, she went social media. She spoke at one of these little gathering of the flock of sheep. And she was bleating about everybody should give up their guns. It's common sense, right? And she can't understand why while she's getting so much pushback. And of course, any kind of pushback is bullying, right? So now the adults in the local media, that's horrible that you're being bullied. Now, what's horrible is that our youth, many of them have lost they're so out of touch with their heritage. They're willing to be disarmed. And while they're saying never again, all the people who have been disarmed and slaughtered say never again. We will never give up our arms. In the future, we will never do that. Matter of fact, how many people have we heard that survived the Holocaust that said never, ever, ever give up your guns. Never give up the means to resist. The people that survived the Bolshevik Revolution and the tyranny of the Soviet expansion under Stalin. All of these people, these millions and millions of people are saying don't ever, ever. We were dumb to give up our guns. We will never, ever do that again. Don't you ever do that. And so here we are saying never again. Let's give up our guns. It's like totally flipped. Amazing. Just absolutely mind-boggling. Meanwhile, while they're saying we're being bullied because we're asking you to give up all your guns and now you're pushing back and so now I'm being bullied, while they're bullying kids, adults are bullying the kids for going to the gun range with their families on a weekend and they got suspended. They got suspended. Students suspended for going to the gun range on the weekend. New Jersey. Well, that explains it. New Jersey school district has a zero tolerance policy on gun possession, even when it happens at a gun range and on the weekend. In their student handbook, it says anytime during the school year, you cannot have any weapons. A student who is reported to be in possession of a weapon of any type. Wow. Of any type. Like a pencil? Like a kitchen knife? So you can use a kitchen knife, a big old cleaver, you can use a hatchet on the weekends. But if you get caught with a hatchet in school, you're going to get suspended for zero policy on hatchets or weapons. If you bring a 10-inch kitchen knife to school, you're going to get suspended. But it's okay to use a kitchen knife on the weekends. You bring a gun to school, you're going to get suspended. But on the weekends, oh, that's not okay. Lost our minds. There is a really cool thing. Under bearingarms.com, there's an outfit that has created a hotline for students who are being bullied for their stance on the Second Amendment. In Spokane, in the American Redoubt, one kid did not want to participate in the walkout, and he was bullied and told, you're going to be the next school shooter, the next mass shooter. Why? Because he refused to go along with the sheep. As anti-gun activists continue to try and stigmatize gun owners, life could get a little interesting. To that end, Second Amendment Foundation, excellent, has created a hotline to help address potential bullying by anti-gun students and teachers. So we'll put that link in there to the Second Amendment Foundation so you can go check out the hotline for yourself. Interesting. What else we got here? Students attending the Conservative Political Action Conference, also speaking of being bullied, they feel marginalized and bullied by peers at school who support gun control. Not liking guns is a millennial thing. It's the cool thing to be against guns, said Justin Vaughn, 17, who attends a Maryland high school. Well, obviously, he doesn't go to high school in the American Redoubt. Well, unless you're in Spokane. That's, you know, larger city. A little bit different mindset. Still very conservative, comparatively to other areas. But man, the rest of the American Redoubt, it's like guns is a way of life. That's a great thing. So Vaughn was relieved to be around other like-minded conservative students when he went to this CPAC convention from across the nation, saying that this is like the only place I've seen where kids are on my side. Well, good. Now you're starting to get the idea of gathering together, right? Coming out of occupied territory, banding together, creating a redoubt. You had a redoubt there at the CPAC convention, didn't you? Yeah, it was the gathering of like-minded people. You were in a defensible safe haven, a refuge. How'd that feel? Felt good, didn't it? Well, here's a little bit from your founding fathers. For our young people out there listening, this is what Samuel Adams, he's a rebel rouser. He's a troublemaker. He was a wild guy, but he was very instrumental in several aspects of the revolution. He said the Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms. That's our heritage. That's the heritage, kids, that your government, this communist revolution is trying to separate you from your heritage. The other people that founded this country said if circumstances should at any time oblige the government to form an army of any magnitude, that army can never be formidable to the liberties of the people while there is a large body of citizens, little, if at all, inferior to them in discipline and the use of arms, who stand ready to defend their own rights and those of their fellow citizens, like we saw at Bundy Ranch. This appears to me only to me the only substitute that can be devised for a standing army and the best possible security against it, if it should exist. That's Alexander Hamilton, staunch supporter of citizens having the ability to resist tyranny. Also, Tench Cox said, as civil rulers, not having the duty to the people before them, may attempt to tyrannize, and as the military forces which must be occasionally raised to defend our country, might pervert their power to the injury of their fellow citizens. The people are confirmed by the article in their right to keep and bear their private arms. That's right. There's a reason for it. There is a good article here at dryfiretrainingcards.com. I mentioned an article that they wrote a while back, also a couple weeks ago. Three things we can do right now to make schools safer that are better than marching. This is a good article. I'm going to refer you to it. For time, I'm just going to, you know, briefly cover this one section here. He says, you know how many people have died in school shootings since 2000? According to the news coverage, it must be thousands. In reality, it's roughly 150, just under 10 per year. This includes elementary, middle, and high schools, but not colleges. Why do I say roughly? Because that number includes husbands killing their wives at work, youth love triangles gone bad, and the majority were the result of gang violence, including guys in their 30s, shooting each other in a school parking lot after school hours. If you count the Rancho Tehama shooting, there where no students died and nobody died on school property, the total number of mass shootings at schools since 2000, we're talking not colleges, since 2000 where four or more people were killed is six. You can verify this by going to Wikipedia, downloading their charts of school shootings into Excel, and sorting the data however you want. It's the roughly 150 deaths at school shootings in the last 17 years is bad. It's a tragedy. But according to the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, 2,000 to 3,000 teens die per year in car accidents. Now, I would take this a step further and say 3,000 children die a day from abortion. A day, we're going to lose approximately 3,000 teenagers per year in car accidents. According to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, 4,000 10 to 19-year-old kids die from suicide, 4,000 every year. According to the CDC, roughly 1,000 10 to 19-year-old kids die each year from cancer, 1,000 1,000. According to the CDC, roughly 100 10 to 19-year-old kids die each year from the flu and pneumonia. That's still 10 times more deadly than school shootings. Please understand, I'm not trying to minimize the lives of those who died in school shootings or the pain that their friends and families feel on a daily basis. But if the goal is to save lives, there are more effective ways than criminalizing private ownership of 300 million guns in a feeble attempt to end school shootings. Amen. And what you're trying to do is criminalize the ownership by people who are not a threat, have never been a threat, never will be a threat. As far as going on mass shootings, who will never use the weapon outside of self-defense. Now, there is a I'll get to that in the next segment. But so what can you do about this? Kids, listen up. Parents, grandparents, this is what your kids can do. There's one brave student, Rockland High School student, will lead a school walkout on April 11th to protest abortion, and said he got the idea from his history teacher. And listens, Julianne Benzel, California student, organizes a school walkout to protest abortion. It would be interesting. How could they tell you no? We're talking 150 kids in 17 years dying from school shootings versus 3,000 a day from abortion. 3,000 a day. 3,000 will die this year. 3,000 die every year. 2,000 to 3,000 will die in car accidents. There's not one peep about making teenagers wear helmets and ride in the back seat, is there? Or walking. Or changing the speed limit across the nation to 20 miles an hour. That would save lives, right? We don't want to give them any ideas. That is an acceptable risk that we take when we go out and we drive, isn't it? Well, it's an acceptable risk that our culture understands. You can get hurt falling off ladders or hurting yourself with your chainsaw or your skill saw or your motorcycle or your firearms. But you don't punish all the people who are safe, that are responsible, moral people, who've never committed a crime, and disarm them. So what can you do, kids? Well, the left has a tactic. They're handing out cards called Five Calls. Download Five Calls and use your voice. Use Five Calls to know exactly who to, this fivecalls.org, to exactly who to call and what to say when speaking to your representative on issues. So what we're going to do is we're going to reform this. We're going to work with the group. I got to call somebody back. I got your email. I'm sorry, I haven't called you back yet. I'm not blowing you off. I've just not been able to get back to you about heading up an effort to give our children, our youth, and our posterity, the next generation, the tools to be able to resist this leftist, anti-American, communist agenda that's attacking our kids. Well, here's one tactic you can use. Use their own tactics against them. Fivecalls.org. You go to the website and you punch in your zip code and it tells you your elected officials that you can contact per these. You can click on any of the issues, you know, pro-LGBT or get these guns off the street, whatever. Click on it and then what it will do is take you to a script that they want you to say. But it shows you your elected officials. And that's what you need to do, kids. And you need to change that script. And we're going to be working on that. You need to change that script with an adult's help and tell them you want them to fight for your gun rights, because pretty soon you're going to be voting and you're going to be hunting and you want firearms for self-defense, just like your parents have. And you're going to remember them if they go against that. So we're going to use this Five Calls card and this Five Calls tool for our conservative patriot youth. The other thing you can do, parents, work with your kids to get a Project Appleseed into your community. Project Appleseed's a rifle marksmanship clinic. It focuses on teaching traditional rifle marksmanship from standing, sitting, and kneeling and prone positions over a two-day weekend. It's a blast. It's so much fun. I did it with my family like 2 years ago. It's a weekend shooting clinic for what's termed an Appleseed. It's one of the major activities of the Revolutionary War Veterans Association. It's a nonprofit organization. It promotes traditional rifle marksmanship while also teaching American heritage and history with the intent of encouraging people to become active civically. Project Appleseed is apolitical. Let's see what else. It's in addition to Project Appleseed, there's also a companion subsidiary activity conducted called Liberty Seed. That is the American heritage and history portion of Project Appleseed. Liberty Seed has been termed a civics class in disguise and features content on the three strikes that were needed to start the American Revolutionary War. It was great. They're great storytellers. The instructors, they did great. It was really cool. Now, I subscribe to them and I get their newsletter. I encourage you to as well. They've got some stuff going on here. April, if you take an Appleseed clinic, attend an Appleseed event on April 21st through the 22nd of this year, they have discounts. Patriots Day is coming. Patriots Day is coming. The anniversary of the day of the American Revolutionary War beginning is April 19th, 1775. That's coming up, April 19th. In celebration of Patriots Day, Project Appleseed would like to invite you to come celebrate with us. So we're offering a special price for you to join us. They're happening all across the country. So go to their website, find out where there's one happening near you. You'll need a 22 rifle, semi-automatic rifle for most of these. In honor of April 19th, the price of the two-day Appleseeds held for April, if you go to the Appleseed on April 21st through 22nd, the price is reduced to $41.90 for adults and $17.75 for youth. It's only $17.75 for youth. So that's a really good deal. If you haven't earned that rifleman's badge, now is a great time. If you've already earned your rifleman's badge, now is a great time to earn your distinguished rifleman's designation and badge, or even the highly coveted 250 patch for a perfect AQT. And it's a great opportunity for you to introduce the next generation into firearms training interwoven with history lessons. I can't recommend the Appleseed enough. So go check them out. Also, if you don't have one coming to your area, please, adults, grandparents, and parents, organize one in your community, contact your local gun club, and find out about youth shooting events, training, or activities that are taking place in your community, and get a hold of the parents, get a hold of everybody in your circle, in your church, put out flyers, and have a big event and exposing kids to their heritage and firearms and training and responsibility every opportunity that you get. Okay, or at least don't neglect to do it periodically throughout the year. Hey, our Canadian listeners, you actually have one too called Maple Seed. Maple Seed, project-mapleseed.org. So you can check that out. Now, before we take a break, I want to share something with you kids. This is a cool thing from a magazine called Amazing Kids. AmazingKids.org, nonfiction stories. So I want to share something with you. The American Revolutionary War. In the Revolutionary War, everyone had to do their part. That means there were many amazing kids. Andrew Jackson and Sybil Ludington played important roles as children of the American Revolution. Kids just like you, listen up. They demonstrated that children can be as brave and as skilled as adults. Andrew Jackson signed up for the Continental Army when he was only 13 years old. During the Battle of Hanging Rock, he was captured by the British, and he was held as a prisoner. After nearly starving to death in captivity, he refused to clean the boots of a British officer. The officer cut his hand to the bone with his sword. Andrew Jackson showed bravery and patriotic pride by standing up to his enemy. 13 years old. Is that courage or what? Now, here's another cool story. Sybil Ludington accomplished a feat at the age of 16 that would be difficult for a professional rider with modern equipment to do today. She rode, talking horses here, she rode twice as far as Paul Revere did to warn the communities around her that the British were coming. She rode from 9 in the evening until dawn the next morning and got 400 Minutemen ready to fight the British. She showed both bravery and tremendous skill. There were many men, women, and children who united to fight the British during the American Revolution. Everyday heroes were fairly common at that time because there was such a need for bravery and courage. Angie Jackson and Sybil Ludington are two historical examples of amazing kids. We'll be right back.
There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable. And let it come! I repeat it, sir. Let it come! It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace. But there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Being a patriot isn't easy. It takes work. And I see too many conservatives, even patriotic people, taking our remaining liberty for granted. Most are happy to just float along enjoying freedom. Freedoms that were hard won and fought for by others at great sacrifice. But most conservative Americans do little or nothing to keep what's left. We often hear people say we need to take back America. But if we can't even hold the line and don't stop losing ground, how can we expect to ever take anything back? Thomas Paine said, "Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it." He didn't say undergoing the fatigue of supporting it was a great idea. And he didn't say maybe we should. He said we must. But maybe we've come to a point where even patriotic citizens don't want to do anything that might fatigue them. If that doesn't change soon, well, one day we'll be saying, "Remember freedom? Wasn't it nice?" I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
We are with segment three at Radio Free Redoubt. Segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Designs to keep you safe and to help you thrive, planning your property with the forethought to integrate the primary needs of water access, food supply, energy production, and security features. They're crucial for the long-term viability of your retreat and your homestead. So check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. All right, we're going to talk about toxic masculinity and warriors, because we just love this subject. Now, as Christians, now in the news and commentary section, we've got these interfaith leaders. Some of them Christians, or calling themselves Christians, are leading the march for disarming American citizens. Now, those who were leading the march to form our country and to resist tyranny 225 years ago, many of them were pastors. So what a difference, huh? No, not all is lost. It was very encouraging to hear that over in Kootenai County, Idaho, there was a huge public town hall meeting with the county commissioners present. And they were voting on whether or not to remove the requirement for building permits if it's your own property. I'm not talking businesses or public buildings or schools. We're just talking about on your own property to remove the requirement to have a building permit. So in the arguments, a pastor got up and used scripture and talked, and because they had, the public was welcome to make their case for or against building codes. And in modern history, this week in the American Redoubt, a pastor got up there and quoted scripture and pointed his finger at these guys and said, you have to respect the private property. And here's why. And he laid out the scriptures to support land ownership and the right of a man to do with what he wills on his property. And it was very interesting. And what's also interesting is that two out of three of those commissioners are also Christians. You're also talking about a community where 80% of the people identify themselves as Christians. So this resonated. And how often do you hear that or hear of that or see that? Interesting. So now we have, though, with the gun rights issue, now we have pastors, though, telling Christians you shouldn't be armed. Self-defense is wrong. You shouldn't have certain kinds of firearms. And really taking on a pacifistic role. There's a website in my research that I've referred to, and we're going to actually put a link up this, I think, to from Radio Free Redoubt, put a banner up here and link to this website. It's called Biblical Self-Defense. We've got to be able to answer these questions because we are going to be facing challenges from those who present themselves as from positions of authority. Now, if you remember Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was part of the resistance in Germany. And part of a plot to not only overthrow, but assassinate Hitler. And he was a pastor, very, very influential. I've got three of his books. But he wasn't always part of the resistance. He actually started off as a pacifist, saying Romans 13, you know, all our government is ordained by God. And to go against that is to go against God. Well, after seeing tyranny firsthand and seeing seeing what the Nazi regime really was all about, he's like, I can't stand by passively and allow this to happen. If I just don't do anything, I'm allowing it. So he became part of the resistance. Very interesting. He's just one of multiple examples. But today we have people saying, no, you need to disarm. But the survivors of the Holocaust and other atrocities are saying, don't you ever disarm. We did it and we should never have done it. We were so wrong. But now we've got people from the pulpit going, no, if you got weapons, you're wrong. If you self-defense, you're wrong. So we've got this dilemma because we look to the pulpit for guidance, right? But now we're being misguided. Well, there is an excellent study. I've read through this. I don't think I've missed anything. But it's called BiblicalSelfDefense.com for our warriors and even our warriorettes. I believe that, especially for the men in toxic masculinity, I think we have a duty to provide and protect and defend, especially when we know that there's danger. And there is danger, and it's becoming more and more dangerous. Not to be paranoid, but simply go on about your life. But be prepared, be vigilant, be watchful, and be ready to protect and defend life and liberty. So this guy lays out the whole, he sounds like me talking through all of this. I have over the years used so many different of these scriptures and these same arguments and the same lines of logic in trying to answer these questions for people that say, yeah, but, you know, what's the Bible say about this? And should we have guns as Christians and resisting tyranny and, you know, this kind of thing. So this is very well done, very well done. And I want to point you to this. But also, if you notice over on the right hand side, when you see it, there's some resources. There's let me go over them. Recommended Women Learning to Shoot. There's another one, Armed and Female. I have that one on the bookshelf. 12 million American women own guns. Should you? That's the question. And there's other links. Concealed Handgun Manual, The Art of Modern Gunfighting, other books. But there's also some other websites. There's some other links here, such as Thank God I Had a Gun, True Accounts of People Using a Firearm to Defend Themselves or Others. Here's another one, The Best Defense, True Stories of People Using Firearms. Guns Save Lives, another True Stories. Outgunned, True Stories of Citizens Who Use Firearms to against Criminals. So there's plenty of cases here to show the 1 to 2 million times per year the firearms are used in defense of life to defend oneself or others. So there's just, I mean, there's more than I maybe I'll sprinkle through some of this over time, cover just a little bit of this each week. But right now I just want to, you know, basically introduce you to this website. I want to pull certain components out of here. I think I've covered every one of these examples, but one in particular I want to cover, and that's Esther. I love the book of Esther. Have you not read the book of Esther? Are you serious? It's amazing. It's one of my favorite stories. So many reasons why, but I want to read how this author addresses this and uses Esther. This is from Esther chapter 8 through 9. The final Old Testament passage we examine is in the book of Esther. Here we have a historical example arranged by divine providence. In this account, the Jews are under threat of racial violence. The civil authority, King Ahasuerus, grants them, the Jews, legal permission to use lethal force in self-defense. That was supernatural that happened. The Christians in South Africa that are facing genocide soon they don't have the benefit. The king there, or the president there, is actually helping to foment this. But in this particular case, this was amazing. This is supernatural. The king, Ahasuerus, grants them legal permission to use lethal force in self-defense. Is it biblical? Is it right that, you know, use lethal force as, you know, as God's people? Well, Esther 8:11-12 says, by these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and to protect their lives, to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little children and women, and to plunder their possessions. So they have legal sanction to protect their lives using ultimate force, much as we do in most parts of this country. They're allowed to kill and annihilate in order to protect their lives. Now, as people under obligation to obey God, not just stay within the civil laws of Ahasuerus, what do the Jews do with this legal freedom? Well, Esther 9:1-5 says, the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. The Jews gathered together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm. And no one could withstand them because fear of them fell upon all the people. Thus the Jews defeated all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, with slaughter and destruction. And we see that given legal sanction to defend their lives with lethal force. They do not choose nonviolence. Rather, as it says in verse 11, to protect their lives, quote unquote, they use the sword, a weapon. And so there's another example of the widespread use of self-defense, or the widespread use of weapons in self-defense in a non-wartime, non-law enforcement scenario. So there's multiple examples. That's just one that jumped out at me. But the whole book of Esther is just amazing, just absolutely amazing. Supernatural. This is just a cool story. If you get a chance to read it, the book of Esther, read the whole thing. There's your work assignment. Your homework assignment this week is to read the book of Esther. And then, of course, put some rounds downrange and begin organizing. Get a hold of Appleseed Info this week. That's your homework assignment. Get a hold of find a youth that you can sponsor, a child or a grandchild or a friend of the family whose child needs some guidance in this area, and support this and sponsor them to get them involved in some type of youth firearms program in your community, especially if it ties in with our American heritage, and they learn our heritage and our history along with that. And Appleseed is one of the best ones that I can think of. We'll have that. Actually, we got the banner there at the bottom of the website. Click on that as well. So, yeah, let's see. Gosh, there's so much good stuff. There's great stuff there. Read this. Read this whole website and everything, all the links. Just follow all the little rabbit trails. I think it's going to be super important for us to stand for what we stand for and know why we stand for it and to be able to articulate where we stand and why. And this is going to really help you do that. And then, okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about emergency communications, an introduction, a little series I'm going to do, talking about emergency communications here in chapter 4 of the next several indefinite number of podcasts. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Don't go away.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State, there are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's unconstitutional to split a state. Well, that's simply ridiculous. Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution says that no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned, as well as of the Congress. So all it takes is a vote of the House and Senate at both the national and state level to make it happen, and it's happened before. 1792 Kentucky, 1820 Massachusetts, 1863 West Virginia, and this is not to mention on the world stage, Catalan, Scotland, Ireland, and Brexit. You see, reestablishing boundaries to better represent the values, traditions, cultures, and customs of a people is actually a very normal phenomenon and the proper way to protect and preserve those beliefs for generations to come. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republican.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Go to 299days.com to learn more. This is segment four. Segment four is brought to you by Werks Holsters. WERKZ.com is where you want to go to find out how to get your hands on or how to order your custom-made Werks holster made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. And great folks, great patriots. I'm a little distracted here. During the break, I'm trying to open... my presentation, my slide presentation for introduction to community-based emergency communications. The presentation that I gave, and it won't open. It just flashes and then it closes. And that was my big hurrah for segment four. I was going to start going through this presentation that I give. That I've given, well, several times, and I just recently gave up in Colville, Washington to a group of patriots there talking about, the necessity of communications, emergency community-based education, communications, how that plays, you know, what their role is as average citizens, what their goals are, what you're trying to accomplish with communications, not just staying informed with your local. You don't need training for you to go and buy a little bubble pack FRS radio so you can keep in contact with you and your buddy while you're convoying up to the hunting site. This is more communications with a purpose. And, of course, we place a lot of emphasis on building a network with your communications. And, of course, that's why we formed AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. Well, my my presentation won't open. And so now I'm kind of stuck here in segment four with not able to go through this with you guys. So you know what? I'm gonna do something different then. I'm just gonna think quick. On your feet. So what I'm gonna do is pull up Amron.com. Now I know a lot of you guys are already familiar with. There's a lot of Amron operators, Amron core operators, in the listening audience. So I think what I'm going to do is just take a few minutes and try to make use of this time to go over the website at Amron.com with you. And we've got a separate website dedicated specifically toward emergency communications for Amron, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. A little bit of the history on that is that the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network was intended originally to be a emergency communications network to keep patriots connected inside the American Redoubt so we can coordinate and communicate and call for help and share information in the American Redoubt in case there was a major catastrophic emergency. Well, other folks started saying, hey, I love what you've got going here. I'd love to be a part of this. And I don't live in the American Redoubt, but can I still join? And we said, sure. So then it just kind of exploded. Now we've got 5,000 or 6,000 members in Amron. And we've got over 400 Amron core operators. And they're just a great group of people, absolutely awesome people. So we've got a website dedicated specifically to supporting Amron. So what I'm going to do is kind of go through the website a little bit to talk to you guys about Amron. There's a lot of resources that we have that people aren't aware. They're asking questions, stuff that's on the website. Now, oh, I didn't know that. Now, I'm just going to give you a brief sketch overview. But over on the right-hand side at the very top, we have what's called AMCON. You can click on that, and there's a page that will explain to what that is. That's the Amron readiness condition level, 5 being the lowest. Like, there's no threat in the world, nothing to worry about, everything's good. There's no chance of emergency communications failing. Nothing to see here, move along. And then AMCON 1 is, there's an emergency going on right now, or it is imminent, that is going to disrupt conventional communications. Now, mind you, it's not like DEFCON, like defense condition level. It's, well, it's similar, but it is specifically designed to help us prepare or respond to emergencies when we have advance warning of an emergency, such as, you know, a major hurricane or some type of other disruptive event, such as North Korea firing off nuclear weapons with and missiles, and then claiming they're going to attack us. Well, we raised the AMCON because that would obviously would be a situation where we could expect a disruption in emergency communications, or we could in conventional communications requiring the use of unconventional emergency communications. So we would raise that, and that's what the AMCON banner is right there. The Amazon.com is an affiliate banner that helps support us. When you purchase things from Amazon.com, they give us a little bit back from each purchase, and that helps support what we do. Then, of course, Amron Core is something we implemented a few years ago, the paid membership. That is where people really learn and grow rapidly. We do additional training. There's additional resources with a forum. There is a separate walkie-talkie app, several channels that we have where Amron core operators are communicating with each other continuously, mentoring each other, training, coordinating meeting on the air for testing, amateur radio and other communications. And so we use a walkie-talkie app, which, of course, uses the internet for coordinating and building relationships and getting to know each other. It's really become a tight-knit group. and some great folks all across the country able to communicate and coordinate. Now, the next thing you'll see there is the signals SOI, the signals operating instruction. That's the communications SOI. In the military, we would have either a CEOI, which is communications electronic operating instructions, or an SOI. That's kind of a boiled down signals operating instructions. It gives you your call signs and frequencies and the times of your nets and so on and so forth. And so what we've done is we've kind of made a modified version of an SOI, signals operating instructions, as a quick reference to for you to quickly turn to in an emergency when we implement emergency nets or major training exercises like T-Rex. And that lets you know, that's a guide. It's a PDF that you can print out. It's $6 recommended donation, minimum $6 donation recommendation for, and then we send you the PDF as a way of saying thank you for supporting us. And you can print that out. Now, we normally have hard copies. We've been out of those for a little while. We are working on version 4. The current version of the SOI is version 3. That tells you what frequencies to turn to, what modes to use, at what time of the day. And there's several resources in there, including forms for situation reports and spot reports and so on. As a reference, a lot of reference material in there as well. That's the communications SOI or signals operating instructions. We will have hard copies made again very soon, but I have a deadline for myself that I'm working on to get version 4 ready, which is why we have not printed any hard copies yet. Version 4 should be done by this coming Friday. So a week from now, and then I want to spend several days, give up to a week, to give several Ameron Corps operators a chance to look over it and make recommendations, suggestions, add cross T's, dot I's, and so on, make any necessary changes, and then we'll make that permanent. So version 4 will be up hopefully by the end of the first week of April. And then we will produce those in hard copies. We'll have those available at the store, at the Readout Gear Store. Okay, next, as you go down there, you'll see there are three buttons. There are submit a spot report, submit a SITREP, that's a situation report, and I'm going to be covering those specifically. I also got some outlines for some videos, instructional videos. We're going to be producing that, and I really have to ramp things up here this spring in order to be ready, to have you guys ready and trained up for those of you who have not been training. To get you trained up in time for T-Rex, which is going to be this summer. It's going to be in July. That's coming up July 20th through the 22nd, Friday through Sunday, a three-day simulated grid-down emergency communications exercise. It's going to be a lot of fun. But I'm going to go over specifically, and the instructions are there on how to fill out a spot report or a SITREP. There, you click on that, and there's instructions for, you know, what exactly to do with that. The net check-ins are really good. Those are really cool for folks that are listening on scanners or shortwave radios, or for some reason your station is just not getting out, but you can hear the net. You get the net word of the week that we put out every week. This is a way for you to let us know that you were there. So when you hear the net word of the week and you tune into the net, for some reason, you're not able to communicate back to net control to let them know you're there, or to a relay that can relay you in, then go to the website, click on the net check-in tab, and fill that out and let us know where you were listening and what you were listening on, and let us know that you were there. And don't forget to put in the net word of the week. Okay, going down a little bit further. Here's something really, and then I'm going to be coming back to each of these things, all these drop-down tabs across the top. But I want to remind you guys to go check out the Ameron videos that we have. The Comms Up and Comms Up 2 videos are a really great introduction into Ameron, and it's done like a docudrama, so it's just kind of fun and interesting to watch, and you see a lot of these different types of communications methods introduced. So there's one, and of course there's, you know, there's a whole bunch of videos there on our website or on our YouTube channel. So if you want to find out what nets are going on and where and how to tune in, Up at the very top, you'll see a scheduled net tab. You just hover over that and a drop down menu appears. And that's where you can look at national nets and then regional nets and local nets. Lots of those nets going on all over the place all the time. So go ahead and check those out. Now, if you're just getting started, then I want to encourage you to go over to the right of that scheduled nets tab and the communications resources tab. When that drops down, there are several things, really great things for helping you get started in AMRON and what to expect. And the getting started tab, the very top thing on that drop down menu, getting started, is a great way to get you off and running as a new AMRON member to find out how, you know, you can start participating in nets and training and really advancing your skills and your capabilities. That comms shopping list is a huge help for folks, especially on a low budget. You're trying to get into something like the Baofeng, you know, handheld radios that are $25 to $35 and all the accessories that can go with them. You kind of don't know where to start. What do I get first? And what's the right thing to get? Well, it's all right there. And then if you go down the list of all of that, just want to invite you to take the time to kind of just surf around on the website and just explore. There's so many folks, myself and so many other AMRON operators have worked hard, and we continue to work hard to keep those resources there. And if you find a dead link, let us know. Things, websites go out of business. They go off the air. They disappear on us. So something that we had linked in an article or something from a year or two ago might not be good. So we want to find a replacement for those dead links. So let us know about that. But there's some equipment and resources that are really helpful as well. So just explore that whole site. I'm sorry that this presentation, I have to fix this. I don't know if I have to reset it, reboot it. I've got it on another thumb drive in my pack, but I wanted to go over this introduction to community emergency communications. It's not opening. It just flashes. I double click on it, it flashes, and it opened earlier. I was going through the whole thing. When I closed it, something got corrupted. So I'll get that figured out. I don't know what to say. But anyway, it was a good opportunity to just kind of point you back to AMRON.com for a lot of resources and information there to get you guys going on emergency communications. So I'll get this fixed. And I'll go ahead and wrap everything up. And you guys have a blessed week. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your prayers. And I just really appreciate you guys being out there. Thank you to all the AMRON operators, all the great, great listeners out there. I've got a lot of follow-up. I've got a pile of emails that I got to try to follow up on and juggle that with working on the SOI and a lot of other training that we're working on. So lots of stuff, lots of good stuff's happening. We're not letting our foot off the gas. We know we're on borrowed time. We're going to try to make the best use of it as possible. It's getting to be a crazy world out there. So anyway, you guys have a blessed week. Be safe. And we'll talk to you next Saturday on KTW Saturday. And the next Sunday night on our weekly podcast at 8 p.m. Pacific time right here. Okay, God bless. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too. Good night.